It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. A tornado watch Sunday morning for the entire listening audience. Kirk Mellish is in the storm center. So if that turns into, we're ready to go live. If we go from a watch to a warning, remember, a warning's worse than a watch. Watch just the conditions are right for a tornado. Doesn't mean there is one. We'll break live to the storm center if there's a warning for one. You've tuned into News Weather Traffic, of course, WSB Radio, but right now it's Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here Sunday mornings, 9 to 11. Here are the top three things you need to know here on this Sunday morning when it comes to Money Matters. First of all, Money Matters Happy Retiree Interview Special at 10 a.m. So in 1 hour, we're gonna go to an interview that I've been waiting to do for a long time here. Here's what we focus on when we do these special interview series. Remember, and I think I learned this from Clark Howard, who doesn't have a ton of guests on his show. I don't have a ton of guests either, until a guest is a really good one or really impactful one. And when we focus on happy retiree specials, I'm focusing on the four. If you were to go to westmoss.com, you'll see where we publish articles. There are four categories, and the four categories are kind of the four pillars of being a happy retiree. Of course, it's money, adventure, social, and health. Those are the four cornerstones, pillar stones, whatever you want to call it. Those are the four foundational keys you've got to have for every person that is going to be a happy retiree. If you don't have, you need to check the box in each one of those categories. So today, though, the focus is on health and wellness, so you can be a happy retiree. The guest, Melissa Hartwig Urban, co-founder and author of the Whole 30 program for health and diet. She sold millions of books, not just like a few. You know, an author will sell a couple hundred thousand books, and it's the biggest deal in the world. It's New York Times, the whole thing. This Melissa sold millions and millions of books, and has been just a kind of a, really, she's been a phenomenon in the United States for really a decade now. And we get to hear in depth from her about health, wellness, and then how that relates to really at any age. This interview is for in the 10 o'clock hour. In depth. And it could change your life. All right, number two, earnings update. How to search for sustainable growing stock dividends. The screening process that I go through, I'm going to actually explain that and talk through that here in the 9 o'clock hour. And then probably first, the story of Tidy Up Tessa. These are stories from the financial front line that I've been bringing to you now for, call it the last month or two. If I'm kind of in the heart of helping someone, and I feel like it's a really important story to share, I will share that story. Now I'll change names and change a couple of the details so we don't know who we're talking about here, but the lesson is applicable to everybody listening. And I think you'll like the story today about Tidy Up Tessa. Let's just first start with earnings. Oh, and the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to do the phones. So your questions here, we will answer in the 9 o'clock hour. I know it's raining, we're in a tornado watch, but if you're hanging out, maybe in the car or just hanging out listening to Money Matters, I'm happy to take your calls and your questions. So number one, here are some of the questions that people have been calling about over the last, call it, couple of weeks, couple of months. A, how to save for money after tax or beyond your 401k. Number two, how do I allocate my thrift savings plan was a question not long ago. Taxation on qualified dividends. For what do I do with a windfall of $150,000? And that number doesn't matter. It could be $50,000, it could be $500,000. How is a deferred comp plan different than a 401k plan? Maybe you have a question about a Roth account or a particular IRA question. Number seven, I have money sitting in cash. This is a question we had not long ago. I have $1 million sitting in cash and I need to know what to do with it. That conversation included a special needs trust for grandchildren, an annuity question. Number nine, multi-income source planning. How do I generate income from other sources? Number 10, which has been a theme, thematic question over the last couple of years, and that will probably continue to be so as companies restructure and merge departments. Big companies get together and there's overlap. Some companies call this surplusing. Some companies just call it laying people off, early retirement, you name it. And then you're forced with this decision of, hey, do I have a lump sum? Should I take that or should I take the monthly amount that they're offering me? We think of this as a lump sum pension or lump sum versus a pension question here on the show. Maybe it's a home purchase question. So no matter what it is, if you're looking for some direction and you're just looking for a third party objective opinion here on a Sunday morning, that's what we've been doing now for well over 10 years here on Money Matters. We'll continue to do that. It's the most fun thing I think we do here on the show. So give us a call here in the studio. The number 404-872-0750. That's the number here in the studio for your questions here this morning in the 9 o'clock hour. So over the next hour, I'm going to go to the phones and do so. Again, give us a call. Phone lines are open. 404-872-0750 is the number, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. If it's the WSB Talk is 1-800-972-8255. Your questions here this Sunday morning. Let's start with, before we go to the phones here, let's start with earnings. I want to talk about kind of the primary driver of stocks. We think of stocks as stocks. Is this a good stock or a bad stock? Really, it's the stock is just the representation of a real live business with real life people working every day to kind of move the ball forward and make the company grow and more profitable over time. Remember, the primary driver for stocks is what actual companies are earning on a go-forward basis. What are we going to earn this year as a company? And then what is the company going to earn next year? And what's the outlook for the next year? We're looking at a window into the future. 6 months ago, expectations, and this is for kind of the broader market here. 6 months ago, expectations for the S&P 500 earnings as a group, and very often we look at this as a big group, and then we look at that, of course, because it's made up by each individual company. What is that company's contribution to the whole pool of earnings? And you'll hear about JP Morgan release their earnings, or Citigroup states their earnings, and that's just one company. And then as a market or as a whole, we'll look at all 500 companies in the S&P 500, and we'll group them together, and there'll be a pool of earnings. And in general, we want the pool of earnings, and you're going to have periods of time where financial companies aren't doing as well, or energy companies aren't doing well, but technology companies are doing really well, or consumer staple companies are doing well, and industrial companies are not doing well. There are 11 different sectors in the S&P 500, and they all contribute to this overall pool of earnings. And when you hear, oh, we're going to earn $160 for S&P 500 earnings, or $170 for S&P 500 earnings, we're referring to the whole pool of what companies in America are earning together. And that collective number is so important. If you go back to the depths of the financial crisis, there was actually a quarter, and this is the very worst that it got. If you added up everything for all 500 companies, and this was just on a quarterly basis, if it had sustained that same, what we did that one quarter, there would have been no earnings for the year. Instead, we ended up with $30 or $40 worth of earnings for the whole pool. And I tell you that number to put in context of where we are today. We know that the markets were up over 300% since the depths of the financial crisis. Really, the depths of the financial crisis, depending on what earning measure you look at, that pool, that 500 companies earned around $40. And then it grew to 50, and it grew to 60, and then it grew to 100, and then it grew to 120. And you can see where we're going here. And as of today, expectations for the S&P 500 as a whole pool started out for this year. So predictions, if we go back a year ago, let's go back to 2018, predictions for this year were $178 for the whole group. Think about that progress. Think about how all the bumps and the peaks and the valleys and the good times and the bad times and Brexit and trade, the trade war with China, the trade war with, at one point, Mexico and Canada and the European Union, and all the things happening here in this world, our economy still kind of just slowly plotted forward, plowed forward. Here we are today. Now, that $178 that was the prediction for this year, that got reduced and reduced and reduced because expectations kind of dropped, which is actually relatively normal, drops a couple of dollars. Today, we think that number is around $172 for 2019, which means that 2019 is about 6 to 7% higher than 2018. Not through the roof, so we don't see earnings exploding on top of last year and going to the moon, but again, plowing forward in a material way. What companies are going to be earning, turning in profit at the end of 2019 looks to be, and we're still relatively early in the year, 6 or 7% higher than what we saw last year. Now, you couple that with gross domestic product or GDP growth of, let's call it between 2 and 3%, which is likely in 2019, and the potential for a trade deal with China this summer, and the additional $100 billion worth of tax stimulus in 2019, it looks as though 2019 could stay. It's been a really good year, could stay a good year. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. We'll go again, the story in this 9 o'clock hour of Tidy Up Tessa, it's going to teach us about whether we should be buying or selling a house and some of the thoughts that go into that, making that decision. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Well, here we go. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Again, we're under tornado watch for the entire listener area. Kirk Mellish live in the Storm Center. I'm getting text messages from our coaches group, a bunch of lacrosse coaches trying to figure out whether we should have practice or not. And I've got two of my kids in here today. Jake Moss, kind of his arms in the air. I don't know. Jake, do you think you want to play anyway, even if it's a tornado? Probably not. No. Okay. And they're of course confused. It's really just a watch right now. It doesn't mean we see a tornado, but we will go live to the Storm Center if we see a tornado warning, which makes it worse than a watch. That's why you tune in here. Not for Money Matters, for news, weather, traffic, because you depend on it. Kind of filling in the gaps there. Shows like Money Matters. We want to keep you around because you've tuned in for news, weather, traffic. Well, I'll try to keep you around here today. We're talking about, this is a real life story about Tidy Up Tessa. Tidy Up Tessa. Should you sell your home or not at the bottom of the half hour when we come back? Because it is it's a really interesting story about trying to figure out what you do in this housing market. This housing market is tough because it's a hot market and it's hard and there's not a lot of inventory. And if you're looking for a house right now, or you know, if your friend's looking for buying and selling a house, it's just kind of tough because it's not that you can't sell your house because the market is strong. It's that you sell it and where do you go? What do you buy as an equivalent? Because prices are high wherever else you're shopping. So it makes kind of for a difficult market to be in. And when prices are, it's great if you can get a lot of money for your house, but then if you're going to have to go buy another house, you got to spend a ton of money to do that too. And then on the downside of that, or I think what makes this market a little tougher even, is that there's just not a ton of inventory. There's just not as much to choose from as we've seen in years past. So it makes that home transition really difficult, you know, in a lot of ways, particularly financially. But there's a lot of other things to think about. We're going to talk about that story when we come back in the bottom of the half hour. But as far as we're finishing up the beginning of the show about earnings. We think they're continuing to move forward for next year. And we have to be able to do that in order to grow stocks, in order to go up over time. The underlying earnings of the companies that, of course, those stocks represent, they have to get better and better every year. The other backdrop that we're seeing in 2019 is this fiscal stimulus. We have more tax cuts than we even did last year. About $100 million in extra economic impact last year, 2018. 2019, there's over $200 billion in tax cuts, which is $100 billion beyond the stimulus of 2018. So it's interesting, this year, the way it shakes out, it's $462 billion in tax cuts, $249 billion in tax increases, as the system has really kind of had this rebalancing. AMT, child tax credit, small business deduction, all these areas have given us more stimulus in 2019. The story of Tidy Up Tessa when Money Matters gets back. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a dark and stormy Atlanta Sunday morning. We're under tornado watch. Just a watch, though, for the entire metro area, really the entire listening area. So if you can hear us, you're under a tornado watch. Kirk Bellish is standing by on the storm center if that gets upgraded to a warning. Remember, a warning's worse than a watch. My kids are just excited that their practice has been canceled today because I told them yesterday, I guess they have, one of them has seen the Captain Marvel movie and the other ones have not. And they always want to go to, they've been wanting to go to this movie, but as we've had these nice days, I'm not going to a movie. I'm not going to go inside to a movie. Like movies, by the way, take forever. They're like a 3-hour event. I'm not going to a movie and taking a bunch of kids to a movie theater when it's nice out. I said the only way we're going to a movie is if we get a super rainy day. So, of course, as we're coming here to the station, Dad, it's a super rainy day. Does this mean we get to watch Captain Marvel? And my answer is, well, if it stays rainy, then we can go. If it stays rainy, if it clears up in the late afternoon, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. A lot happening here in the studio. A lot happening in the Moss house these days. The spring, finally, you know, outside. I've got a bunch of kids, four younger boys, and we just got a puppy, believe it or not, which sounds like complete insanity. But we did it, and my wife and my kids have been begging me to get a puppy for like 2 years. We already have a dog. We have a German Shepherd. It's kind of like our watchdog, and she's not a super friendly, cuddly family dog. So the kids are always wanting some sort of playful dog, and so finally I said, sure, let's do this, and we got this just adorable, just the cutest puppy I've ever seen, and I actually keep hearing that as people see this puppy named Kodiak, or Kodiko, named after his dad, of course, after kind of a bear. He looks like a little teddy bear, and he's an English lab, but he's a red. He's a red lab, if you've seen that before, a red fox lab. So it's technically they're yellow labs, but they're red, and they're actually pretty deep red. So it's a really cool color, and he is so sweet, and he's so fun and cuddly, and nips on everybody. But his little teeth, but a lot of fun. I mean, I would say he is so fun or so cute. The first week, and we've only had him for like a week and a half now, even his poop is cute. These little piles of poop look like perfect ice cream cones, and even that's cute, if you can believe it. I've started to actually use Instagram, and I've put some pictures up of that and our kids here in the studio. Forced to use Instagram, but I'm doing that as well, and it's good. I actually like Instagram, I think, better than the other social medias, but I'm... My Instagram is Wes Moss, WESMOSS _ 365. It's if you're on Instagram, Wes Moss, MOSS _ 365. And so good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. If you have a burning question, hopefully we can get to it this half hour. If you've been thinking about something all week and haven't been able to get to the phones or give us a call during the week. We're here on Sunday mornings to do that. The number is 404-872-0750. Again, the number here in the studio for your financial questions, Roth IRA, qualified dividends, capital gains, lump sum versus pension, 404-872-0750. Or 1-800-WSB-TALK, which is 800-972-8255. But I promise this story of Tidy Up Tessa. And as you had, and we just talked about the housing market's tough. So if you head into retirement, you might be thinking, oh, it's time for a fresh start. And that conversation very often has to do with your home. And it's, but as we just discussed, it's a really tight housing market, and relocating might seem to offer, hey, maybe I've got this added benefit of this financial windfall because we've got the housing market is pretty strong right now. Maybe you can sell while things are hot, while real estate's doing well, and then buy something cheaper, pocket the difference, maybe buy a house mortgage free. And that is that's an equation that I've seen many families be able to do for, let's say, the last several years. And if you can do that, I am a big advocate for that. Happy retirees have no mortgage. There was Clark Howard actually was posting yesterday on his Instagram page about getting rid of a mortgage and some of the research that we did in some of the research I did for You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. Happy retirees, in general, they don't all just have no mortgage, but they're getting to the point where their mortgage payoff is within sight. So it's getting closer. And that's a big deal. Now, to do this move where you end up with no mortgage, you've got equity in your house, you sell it, you take the equity, and you buy something for cash. To do this, you sell, then buy cheaper. Usually, it's usually a pretty significant downsize. And usually you've got to do a relatively large geographic move in order to do so. So it's a little harder than we think to be able to do that for a lot of families. It can be done and you stay in the same area, but a lot of times you have to move to an area that's a little bit less expensive. But let's say you're on the fence for a move. Let's say you're on the fence and the economics are relatively neutral. You can buy and you can sell and you end up in the same place financially. You're just looking to move somewhere else or someplace new, which brings me to the story of Tessa. Where we had to go beyond just the dollars and the cents to decide whether to move out of her long-term home. Moving out of that long-term home, was it the right move or not? So Tessa's someone I've known over the years, and she asked me for advice on this topic of downsizing. Tessa's close to retirement. And she'd lived in this home for many years, but recently lost her husband and was thinking that, hey, maybe a new home might help move forward into this new phase of life. And imagine how hard that is. Imagine how hard that would be. It has to be difficult to stay in a home where you live with your spouse and now they're no longer here. They're no longer with us. So it's an emotional conversation. And Tessa explained this dilemma. She's torn. She loves the house that she's in, but kind of this bittersweet, well, maybe it is a good idea to move. Well, while she wasn't sure if she was truly emotionally ready to move, so I don't know if this is a good idea, but I said, let's try something anyway. Let's at least put the home up for sale, get it ready for sale, and maybe even put it on the market. Let's just test it out. So in talking with Tessa, I said, look, consider, though, all these other areas. Consider the social aspects and the other intangibles that figure into the notion of owning a home, things that you wouldn't necessarily think about right away, or you wouldn't necessarily keep if you picked up and moved. Do you have a great relationship with your neighbors? Do you talk to your neighbors daily over the proverbial fence? If you relocate, how long is it going to take to create new friendships in this new neighborhood? Do you know the new neighborhood is a friendly place to go? Maybe your current place is close to your other friends and close to family. And it makes keeping up with your social network all the easier, which is a huge part of the equation. It's not just about the house, but it's about the neighborhood and the social network that you develop around your neighborhood very often. Not everybody, but a lot of times that it really you grow up with your neighborhood. Depending on how far you move, you can have to go find new doctors. I mean, you can move 30 minutes away, which doesn't sound like a lot, but now all of a sudden it's a lot harder. Maybe your dentist now is an hour away, which you're going to say, okay, I'm going to change dentist. I'm going to change everything, even for slightly a smaller move. So these are all the things you really need to think about when we're thinking about putting our house up for sale. Now, the sell high, buy high, that's the other question mark here. It's more the sell high and then buy high because this market is expensive everywhere, or almost everywhere. that within housing, that could be more difficult than the stock market, for God's sakes. As we're making a windfall by selling this home you've owned for long term, you've got to go back to a market that's also hot. So if you're selling in a hot market, then you're also buying in a hot market. And the only way to avoid that conundrum is by moving to a very, very different part of town or within the area or outside the geographic area or another region of the country. And again, of course, we have to think about all the other intangibles, friends, family, et cetera. So back to Tessa, she decided to try something different, let's say, before saying goodbye to the house. So she embarked on this deep decluttering job in order to get the house ready to be shown, to be ready to be put on the market. That's how I gave her the nickname of Tidy Up Tessa, because that's precisely what she did. She made it a priority to sort through all the things that she had accumulated over decades and decades living in the same space. And you know what? Something changed for her. Tidy Up Tessa came back and told me that after downsizing her belongings, cleaning the house up, it felt very, very different. She said that she realized that after all those years, there were just some things that she could let go of and give new life to the same home that she's been in for many, many years. All the stuff that she'd accumulated, all that stuff in the house made her feel overwhelmed. And without it, she breathed easier. And in the end, she decided not to sell. She decided not to sell, at least for now. She's happily living in her new home, which is still her old home. And while I don't know what she's going to do over the next couple of years, I know for now, at least she's going to stay for a while. So with just a little polish, what's old, it just might be new, and it might be right under your nose. And I think the reason this story really hit me is that it was a pretty emotional one to try to help her figure this out. But I've had the same phenomenon happen where I was really eager, and this was the first house that Lynn and I owned. And I think at the time we only had one, or no, I think we had two of the boys at the time. So go back at least 10 years or so. And it was a great first home, and it had gotten cluttery in the basement, which could have been turned into a full basement. We never did it, and it just got full of books, and all her nursing school books were down there in boxes, and they were cobwebs, and they're dusty, and we just wrote off the entire basement as, we'll never go down there. And in order to sell it or get it ready to show, we cleaned out the basement, we painted it, we didn't even drywall it, but all of a sudden it was like, wow, we have this entire new floor we'd never really thought of. We restaged the house, decluttered the house after living there for, call it, 7 years or 8 years. And I just remember the feeling of seeing it show ready and thinking, wow, I don't know if I want to leave anymore. I don't want to go. I love this house. So I think that exercise of, if you're listening here and it is spring and it's still time for, if there's such a thing as spring cleaning, think about that. If you're on the fence here, it's a lot. There's more to just the dollars and cents of the house. And if you're on the fence financially, like a lot of folks are, because it's a tough market, I wonder if you spend a month or so or a couple of months just doing this same process where you think you're going to sell, you totally declutter, you totally clean out, maybe you restage, maybe you get some new furniture, maybe you get some new rugs, I don't know, maybe you paint, and maybe your old house feels new again. I don't know. Could have just saved you a lot of heartache, because one of the top 10 worst things that a friend can ask you to do, hey, can you help me move? You got to be a good friend to help somebody move. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in here. You know where to find me and the Money Matters team. It's at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. This story is right there under the news tab. Again, we categorize everything into money, adventure, social, health. Reminder, in the 10 o'clock hour, an interview with the co-founder of the Whole 30 health and wellness, really a diet program, but it's really helps millions of people, me, my family, actually a lot of clients and families that I help over time. And I figured it'd be pretty amazing to bring in hear from the author how this whole program got started, and it's helped millions of folks just live a much healthier life. And that's in the 10 o'clock hour, so stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Well, here we are back live. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Remember, in the 10 o'clock hour, we have a focus or happy retiree interview special. Money, adventure, social, and health. Today's focus is on health with Melissa Hartwig Urban, co-founder and author of the Whole 30 program for diet and health. Also, we are we're still under. Let's see here. We've got a lot happening here. You've got What have we got? Tornado watch for the entire listener audience. Kirk Mellish in the Storm Center, ready to go live if we get any warnings whatsoever. And by the way, a warning or a watch is less bad than a warning. And I always get that confused. But a watch is conditions are right, but a warning is when things really get bad. Download the WSB radio app and turn on push notifications for instant severe weather alerts from the WSB Storm Center. You can do that too. I said we go to at least one call. Let's try that. Hunter, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can we help? Let's see if this is working. Hunter, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. What's going on? How can I help?
I had a question about a Roth account.
Yes.
So I've got mine set up to draft out monthly. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
So I've got my account to set out to draft out monthly. And I was wondering if it would be better to save up lump sum for the year. And maybe two or three times a year instead of 12 times a year.
Oh, and just kind of put it all in. Okay. I think it's a really interesting question. The automatic, if you think about saving over time, Hunter, there's a book called The Automatic Millionaire by David Bach, who talks about how one of the keys to actually being able to save a lot of money over time is to just put it on autopilot as opposed to doing anything manually. Meaning that, I'm going to wait once a year, twice a year, three times a year and put a big chunk in. The key is to set it so that it just automatically happens and there's just no emotion to it. And so I would tell you that doing it monthly in auto draft is exactly the way you want to do it. You can do that in your 401k. You can do it outside of a 401k. Any sort of savings that you can do that is on autopilot is in my opinion, way better than doing it in big chunks. For a variety of reasons. So keep it monthly, my friend. I love that idea. Stay tuned, 10 o'clock hour interview with the co-founder of the Whole 30 wellness diet program for happy retirees. And find me and the Money Matters team at Wes Moss, WESMOSS.com or on Instagram, for goodness sake. Instagram is Wes Moss, WESMOSS _365. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.